your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Another edition of what I call American Exposé. This is Chris Kerner speaking to you on the, the 5th of April. Had a program this afternoon on the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour that I do for Melody Cederstrom with Anthony Hargis. And we disconnected when I tried to get him connected tonight. And I couldn't get a hold of Nicholas to call in, so we can't have him on tonight. What a setup. I'll try to get him on tomorrow night. Most of you probably did not hear the afternoon broadcast, and certainly that was very, very eye-opening about his dilemma, and I feel very, very bad about missing him tonight with this phone hookup setup that I have here. Most unfortunate at this late date. Regarding the situation with our country, certainly much going on. And evidently the family of the Shivos, the Shivo parents, they're deeply divided as ever. Terry Shivo's parents arranged a funeral mass for her Tuesday night, while her husband held on to her cremated remains and planned a separate service. Shivo's parents had opposed her cremation and hoped to bury her in their adopted state of Florida, but her husband, Michael, ordered her cremation and said her ashes will be buried in the family's plot in Pennsylvania, the state where Terry Schiavo grew up and met her future husband. Ah, yes. What a joke. What a sick, sick, stupid time to be living in America with the setup in place. Most assuredly so. As the Oklahoman documents right here today, actually it's Sunday's paper, elderly inmates are the costliest to keep, and their numbers continue to grow. Medical expenses are a big concern, they say. Aging Behind Bars is the title of this article, listeners. If Tikra Hicks ever gets paroled, he said he'd like to garden, fish, and maybe raise a few chickens. He'd live at home with his son and draw Social Security. The wheelchair-bound 83-year-old is up for release in 2010. He'll be 88 years old. Quote, I'd like to be outside, he said. I could make it outside, end quote. Hicks, serving 12 years for molestation, is one of nearly 1,200 Oklahoma prisoners older than 55 years old. Elderly inmates are the costliest prisoners, and experts expect more and more will grow old behind bars. Where do you think this is going to take us, listeners? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? The setup in place. Euthanasia on the horizon. In Oklahoma, inmate medical care costs twice as much as food and five times as much as utilities, according to the U.S. Justice Department. Older inmates contribute to that, said Dr. Mike Jackson, Deputy Director of Medical Services for the Oklahoma Corrections Department. The last years of life are the most expensive, and more Oklahoma offenders will spend their last years in prison because of tougher sentencing laws, such as truth in sentencing, a requirement that violent and repeat criminals serve 85% of their sentence. More than 760 inmates are now serving life in prison without the possibility of parole. So this is a whole full-page article here. And on the next page, prison life means more than just waiting to die. And here's a statement by Harold Love, serving a 15-year prison sentence. What concerns me is my family. All my family is dying, and I'm in here. Harold Love, 71, began serving a 15-year prison sentence for rape and molestation 2 years ago. By the time he's eligible for parole, he'll be 82 years old. His wife will be nearly 90. Mary Frances Love, 78, is diabetic and has knee problems. She receives $550 a month from Social Security, but pays $500 a month for prescriptions. Their savings are draining quickly. And he says, Harold Love says she'll probably die while I'm in here. An Oklahoma inmate dies about once a week, and most of those are age 60 or older, said Dr. Mike Jackson, Deputy Director of Medical Services for the Corrections Department. And certainly, I'm not condoning, what's the point here? People are serving sentences for crimes that they've committed. But the point is that the financial system is draining. The tremendous expenditures going out all over the country for certain purposes, for the Middle East mess that we're in, another Vietnam War. It's going to give justification for ending people's lives earlier to save money. That's the direction in place. That's what's happening at this point in time. I'm going to try and see if I can make this work here. Hold on. I can't connect up to my guest at this point with what I have set up here. Why do you think I don't have guests anymore? our country is so messed up. Most people don't have a clue about it. Upsets me to every degree you can possibly believe. It's a sad scenario that we live today, that we don't learn by our mistakes, that people are so dumbed down in the schools, don't have a clue what's going on. Out of Geneva, the World Health Organization on Friday played down the danger of a widespread of an Ebola-like virus that has killed 127 people in Angola. And this is according to 12 health workers. And who are they? And what do they work for? The UN system. Although it is the deadliest recorded outbreak of the rare Marburg disease, WHO spokeswoman Fadela Chirab said it can be controlled. WHO downplays fears of virus in Angola, listeners. More spreading of diseases. AIDS, a designer disease. It's all by design. To reduce the population in the world. That is what's going on at this point in time. The biggest anti-terrorism drill ever held in the United States got underway Monday with a mock biological attack in New Jersey and a simulated chemical weapons explosion in Connecticut. Named Tip-Off 3, the $16 million week-long exercise is meant to find weak spots in the nation's emergency planning as the borders have been open for years. Under the guise of the UN system, implementation of human rights treaties, Executive Order 13107, signed by President Clinton in 1998, the 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, people continue to pour into this country as this Minuteman Project is sort of bringing some accountability to the Border Patrol. But ultimately, if the American people really knew what we were a part of, what do you think would happen? How could we rectify what would happen? Does anyone know that the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF and the World Bank? And the alternate is Alan Greenspan of the Federal Reserve? So Michael Chertoff, oh boy. Michael Chertoff, who okays torture, according to the American Free Press, quote, makes a statement. I want to make it clear that we are going to push our plans and our systems to the very limit, end quote. That's U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff. Quote, so we expect failure because we're actually going to be seeking to push to failure. And that is, in our judgment, the best way to get a lesson learned from what we do here, end quote. For $16 million? Is this insane or what? Who's going to set off the next Pearl Harbor, the next created crisis, the next scenario that comes down to take more freedoms away, maybe to take those of us that are awake and aware and educated and smart enough to know what's being done in our country and the world, maybe to do away with us, put us in the closed military bases as concentration camps under BRAC, base realignment and closure. This article continues, although no real weapons or bioagents are used, the state and local officials responded as if it were the real thing, sending ambulances to hospitals and flooding the area with investigators and emergency workers in hazmat suits. All told, more than 10,000 people will participate in the drill, including exercises that will involve officials in Canada and England. More than 8,500 people will take part in similar exercises in Seattle and Chicago in 2003, evidently. On Tuesday and Wednesday, the drill will shift to hospitals, where hundreds of mock patients will show up in various degrees of medical crisis. Some will be treated in emergency rooms, while others might undergo outdoor decontamination. Sad, sad commentary for our country. I'm just a little disillusioned with the ignorance of the American people, the stupidity of the American people. Because the world's watching us and listening to us and seeking us, and they know how dumbed down we are. Because most of the world realized that September 11, 2001 was set up, just like Oklahoma City, which the anniversary is April 19th, 2005, the 10-year anniversary. Here we see from the Associated Press, out of Haiti. Supporters call him Haiti's Martin Luther King Jr. Well, that ought to tell you something about this man, a fiery Roman Catholic priest who electrifies the masses with populist sermons urging social equity and nonviolent protest. The U.S.-backed interim government recently accused him of inciting violence and hiding gunmen loyal to ousted President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, jailing him for weeks before freeing him because of a lack of evidence. The mix of praise and condemnation was only fueled beliefs that the pro-Aristide governor, Gerard Jean Justy, will seek Haiti's presidency in fall elections, a move that could reignite tensions with the United States. Oh, boy. This article's on the website. Fiery priest may seek Haiti's presidency. Everyone is the president of every country for our consumption because we've been so dumbed down at this point in time. And that is the big problem that we have today. Most have never heard of the word Agenda 21. And yet it's been implemented for 13 years. The Terry Schiavo situation, the aging inmates in the prisons all connect to Chapter 6 of Agenda 21. Not outright telling you this. They're not going to outright tell us this. But when you realize what it says in there, it could be anything they want it to be. Out of New Orleans, thousands of oil and natural gas platforms in the Gulf of Mexico could be converted into deep-sea fish farms, raising red snapper, my yellowfin tuna, and flounder under a plan backed by the Bush administration. For years, marine biologists and oil companies have experimented using the giant platforms as bases for mariculture. The commercial use of platforms as fish farms never got off the ground because of the federal government's reluctance to open up the oceans to farming. In December, Bush proposed making it easier to launch fish farms off the nation's coast. It could be done by resolving a quote, confounding array of regulatory and legal obstacles, end quote, the White House said. Fish farming in the rough and tumble ocean, done by enclosing thousands of fish in submerged pens serviced by scuba divers, is limited commercially to waters within state jurisdiction, where permits have tended to be easier to get. The seafood now accounting for about $7 million or $7 billion in the nation's foreign trade deficit. Advocates of deep sea farming say mariculture would bolster American seafood production and provide much needed employment to coastal communities harmed by the eclipse of traditional fishing. Why do you think they keep saying everything's been fished out? What is going on in the oceans that we don't know about? I don't know what to say about this. This is on the website. You can see it for yourself. from New Delhi out of Reuters. India, which has the world's second largest HIV/AIDS population, plans to introduce a law to stop discrimination against people infected with the virus, the health minister said on Monday. Apparently, a huge stigma is attached to people who are HIV positive in India, and many of the country's 5.1 million people with AIDS face severe discrimination because of widespread lack of awareness about the illness. I have one answer for that. Abstinence, people. Activists say many employees of hotels, factories, and textile farms have lost jobs after testing positive. They're either forced to quit, given early retirement, or declared unfit to work. Quote, we have finalized draft legislation to end discrimination against AIDS patients, end quote, Health Minister N. Breni Ramendos told an AIDS conference, quote, it has gone to the law ministry and will be presented to Parliament, end quote. India's HIV problem has assumed serious proportions despite health programs to halt its spread. Over the years, HIV/AIDS has moved beyond traditionally high-risk groups such as prostitutes, drug users, and homosexuals. Experts say the number of these infected could quadruple by 2010, and the World Bank has warned the disease would become the single largest cause of death in the world's second most populous country unless there is progress on prevention. And naturally, the UN system, the World Bank. Why not? What is the UN system all about? World government control is what the World Bank is all about. World government control, the whole setup is nothing more than that, a setup. We live it today. We've lived it in the past. I keep talking about the 54,000 lives lost in Korea, the 58,000 lives lost in Vietnam, whoever, the thousands of people that have lost their lives in Gulf War I after they came home. So it is a big setup. The UN system is a gigantic setup. People don't want to hear about it, but I could give a damn. I just know exactly where the information's coming to. Here we see the World Bank out of Moscow. Russia's slowdown in economic growth continued into 2005, partially the result of the politically charged dismantling of the Yukos Oil Company, and this is according to the World Bank. Keep in mind, where do you think the world of the Global Fire Monitoring Center came from? Well, we'll cover that again tonight by Karen Lee Bixman. In its 10th periodic report on the state of Russian economy, the bank noted as positive developments, President Vladimir Putin, his backing of legislation aimed at easing tax burdens and at assuring fears over any new reviews of the questionable privatization deals that plagued Russia in the 1990s. Vladimir Putin, President of Russia. Everybody has a president for our consumption, people. He used to be the premier. But the bank also reported that growth in the Russian economy, heavily dependent on oil revenues, had slowed even to the pace of oil was breaking records on world commodity markets. Gross domestic product grew by 7.1% in 2004 compared to 7.3% in the previous year. Low investment in the oil sector in particular held back growth, the report said, due to tougher taxes and continued uncertainty after the government's nationalization of Yukos' biggest production unit in December. Meanwhile, the bank also calculated that Russian membership in the World Trade Organization would bring the economy an additional $19 billion per year, or 3.3% of GDP. The World Trade Organization. The vote in this country of the WTO didn't come about until after our membership into the Agenda 21, the Rio Earth Summit, the setup in place. sad, sad commentary to have at this point. Out of the Oklahoman, dated April 3rd, Sunday, helping women, helping communities. Volunteer group works to support World Neighbors' effort to help women. And this is quite an interesting article. You can't help but feel compassion when you read this article. During a trip to Malai 3 years ago, Dr. Susan Chambers saw a woman who walked 9 miles to give birth on a rickety metal table in a tiny government clinic. The baby was safely delivered about 10 p.m. A half hour later, the mother started the long walk back home. Quote, they cleaned the baby up and she hit the dusty trail, end quote, Chambers said. The story captivated the adult guests at Chambers Women of Work International Women's Day Party. Wow. Chambers Women at Work International Women's Day Party. And obstetrician Chambers also told her guests about World Neighbors' efforts to offer training for traditional birth attendants in birth kits containing razor blades, string, mats, and iodine. Quote, through World Neighbors programs, they, the pregnant women, are at least getting improved care. They are a lot of times able to get medicine to prevent malaria. It's basic things, but it can really improve their pregnancy, end quote, Chambers said. There's more to this. Women around the world, there's another section here. Women work two-thirds of the world's working hours, but earn only one-tenth of the world's income and own less than one-tenth of the world's property. Women account for nearly 70% of the world's poor and illiterate. Where are they going with this? Where do you think they're going with this? That's the point of the problem. Three-fourths of the refugees in the world are women. One woman every minute, more than a half million women a year, dies from a pregnancy-related cause. Amazing. One woman every minute, more than a half million women a year, dies from a pregnancy-related cause. About 1.3 billion people worldwide survive on less than $1 a day, more than 900 million, or about 70% of those are women. Where are they going with this? Take from the rich, give to the poor. Robin Hood in its ultimate direction. Chapter 23 of Agenda 21, Women in Sustainable Development. Women have considerable knowledge and experience in managing and conserving natural resources. However, the role of women in achieving sustainable development has been limited by such barriers as discrimination and lack of access to schooling and equal employment. Governments should consider developing strategies by the year 2000 to eliminate constitutional, legal, administrative, cultural, behavioral, social, and economic obstacles to women's full participation in sustainable development, and etc. Certainly, you understand where that comes from. Agenda 21. If it was such a good idea, why did they keep it such a secret? That is my point. That is my question. It should be let known to everyone that this is the plan. Agenda 21. Every country in the world.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you. Like any magazine, if you don't want to keep getting it, simply unsubscribe by not listening. But you are listening, so now go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there to make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program. Not only should you subscribe for yourself, but you should give extra to help us spread the message of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Don't do Internet? You can also write us. First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, that's T-U-L-A-R-E Avenue, in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. Thank you. Who are you? That is the question and the name of the program. To learn what the question means and what the answers are, tune in every Sunday afternoon and Rice McLeod will give you the answers. Who are you? Check the schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for broadcast times. We'll see you then.
Broadcast called American Exposé. It's the 5th of April, 2005. The 1st of April, 2005, April 1st, out of Geneva. The final stretch in the race to lead the World Trade Organization began Friday, with senior diplomats launching a round of consultations to gauge support for each of the four men competing for the top job. A panel of WTO ambassadors from Kenya, Norway, and Canada kicked off 2 months of closed-door consultations with their counterparts from other countries in the 148-nation body that sets the rules of global commerce. The rules for global commerce, I see. Under WTO rules, the trio has from April 1st to May 31st to establish which candidate has the broadest backing. Quote, it's understood that the candidate or candidates least likely to attract consensus shall withdraw, end quote. Over those 2 months, the rules say there is no formal polling. Instead, the director general is picked by consensus, after backroom discussions, in theory, I see. Because the last leadership contest 6 years ago turned into a bitter fight, I see. When the position was up for grabs in 1999, it provoked a bitter dispute between supporters of Sapotachi Kapetahaki of Thailand and New Zealand's Mike Moore, and left the WTO leadership for leaderless for 4 months. And in compromise, the two men shared the job, with each getting a 3-year term. How incredible. Sukpachi, the current director general, ends his term August 31st. One of the key tasks of the new WTO chief will be to spur efforts to finalize a far-reaching global trade liberalization accord by 2006. I see. Huh. Absolutely amazing stuff, people. As we move and learn, as we realize what's going on, how these directions continue to move us, I'm amazed at the ignorance of the American people. There's so much on the website, so much to see, so much to realize. And at this late date, how in the world can we make a difference? That is your point and problem. That is everyone's problem, listeners. I'm so sorry that there's so much ignorance going on. On December 9th, 2003, Karen Lee Bixman wrote her last article. And I want to cover this again tonight. I'm sick and tired of ignorance of the American people. I'm sick and tired of the ignorant people in our country. I'm just sick and tired of it. So sick and tired of ignorant people. So Karen Lee Bixman, her greatest work, in my opinion, was entitled The Global Fire Monitoring Center, Eliminating Private Property Through the Use of Fire. Quote, the Global Fire Monitoring Center is a facility with capabilities to systematically monitor, archive, and distribute information on fire and related impacts at a global scale, which serves a variety of purposes. These include meeting the demands for information by scientists, land resources managers, the disaster mitigation, prevention, and management community, policymakers, and the general public, end quote. That comes from the Global Fire Monitoring Center brochure from Freiburg University, Freiburg, Germany. The Global Fire Monitoring Center, the GFMC, established in 1998, is sponsored by many private and international partners, including the United Nations Educational and Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, and the World Health Organization, WHO, the World Conservation Union, the IUCN, and the World Bank. These organizations partner with the United Nations on issues of the environment and adhere to Agenda 21 principles. While their purpose and intent may sound righteous, the underlying objective is to eliminate private property and remove people from the land. That's what she says. She knows. She researches. She was the first one to disclose the Biodiversity Treaty in 1995. Karen Lee Bixman. Once again, while their purpose and intent may sound righteous, the underlying objective is to eliminate private property and remove people from the land. The GFMC, the Global Fire Monitoring Center, is only one of a plethora of organizations created to mandate the concept of sustainable development as laid out in Agenda 21. If one is to understand the full dimension of this program, however, an understanding of Agenda 21 and sustainable development must be gained. That is the problem, that is the situation, and that's the way it is. If one is to understand the full dimension of this program, meaning the Global Fire Monitoring Center, an understanding of Agenda 21 and sustainable development must be gained. And certainly most of you realize in 1992 the United States was one of 179 nations that met at the UN Conference on World Environment in Brazil. Two important documents were drafted at the conference, the Global Biodiversity Assessment and Agenda 21, which ultimately seeks to return the United States to a pre-civilized environment. Ultimately, to seek the return of this country to a pre-civilized environment. Although the GBA was not ratified by Congress, the principles laid out in the document and the corresponding Agenda 21 are being put into place today through various environmental mandates that call for sustainable development, which is an echo buzzword that is nothing more than communism cloaked in the veil of environmentalism. today in America. It's called communitarianism, listeners, as I interject. The end result of sustainable development is that every individual will share the riches of a nation on an equal manner. Sustainable development also puts great emphasis on the poor and third world developing nations. See why I rekindle this article today? There's so much going on in the news about this. Quote, poverty and environmental degradation are closely interrelated, end quote, states Agenda 21. Quote, while poverty results in certain kinds of environmental stress, the major cause of the continued deterioration of the global environment is the unattainable pattern of consumption and production, particularly in industrialized countries, which is a matter of grave concern, aggravating poverty and imbalances, end quote. Following the 1992 UN Conference on World Environment, President Bill Clinton adopted the principles of Agenda 21 and established the President's Council on Sustainable Development, the PCSD. The Council's report provides for domestic policy that must be integrated into policy to achieve economic progress in environmental protection and social equity, end quote. Social fairness, in other words, communism. These three principles of economy, environment, and equity are the foundation for sustainable development, which seeks to, according to the report, restructure education by, quote, providing lifelong learning opportunities and creates visioning councils which limit urban sprawl, refurbishes land areas to be designed for pedestrian and bicycle traffic, and makes use of rail corridors for intercommunity travel, calls for the elimination of the automobile. Private property should be managed for sustainability within the constraints of federal and community visions, end quote. The report concludes that, quote, individual freedom, private property rights, and national sovereignty are concepts recognized as obstacles to be modified or overcome, end quote. To help sell the American people on the sustainable development concept, a massive education plan was launched using the principles laid out in Agenda 21. See, this is so big, I can't stop talking about it. Because others won't. Others don't see how big it is. Until you as a listener starts calling other talk shows to get them educated on the right page about Agenda 21, I have to continue with this. I can't stop. When you've lived a life like I have of observing and realizing where we're going, where we've been, you'll know why I'm talking so much about Agenda 21. The responsibility for bringing about changes lies with governments in partnership with the private sector and local authorities. That is one of the principles of the massive education plan, which was launched using the principles of Agenda 21. Once again, the responsibility for bringing about changes lies with governments in partnership with the private sector and local authorities, and in collaboration with national, regional, and international authorities, and in collaboration with national, regional, and international organizations, including in particular the United Nations Environmental Program, the UNEP, United Nations Development Program, the UNDP, and the World Bank. Secretary of the Treasury is U.S. Governor of the IMF and the World Bank. I've covered that in the past. Currently, the United States is enduring a radical sociological restructuring which includes land use prohibition for ranching, agriculture, and mining. Residents living in rural areas are also increasingly losing the use of their land. Existing roads and highways in rural areas are being eliminated, so the land can then be returned to wilderness. Is this not insane? This Habitat for Plants and Animals forbids human inhibitancy or intrusion. Gradually, the population will be relocated into urban areas called cooperation zones. It's on the map on the front page of AmericanExpose.com, listeners. The zones will be regional enclaves where people will live, work, and shop within the confines of their eco-village. Establishment of the GFMC, people, following the seminar on the forest, fire, and global change held in Russia in 1996, an institution was established as the Global Fire Management Facility. In 1998, the government of Germany, through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, provided the initial funding and established the organization as the Global Fire Monitoring Center. According to Agenda 21, quote, environmental measures addressing transborder or global environmental problems should, as far as possible, be based on international consensus, end quote. The GFMC fulfills this consensus as the center follows the, quote, recommendations of the International Tropical Timber Organization, the ITTO, the World Health Organization, the WHO, and various scientific and policy conferences, end quote. Policies of the UNESCO, the World Bank, Disaster Management Facility, the DMF, and the World Conservation Union, the IUCN, expressed by the co-sponsorship of three organizations and the research agendas and co-sponsorship of international science programs devoted to global change research. That's right, Global Change Research, the International Geosphere Biosphere Program, the IGBP, the International Union of Forestry Research Organizations, the IUFRO, and the International Boreal Forest Research Association, the IBFRA. That's the International Geosphere Biosphere Program, the International Union of Forestry Research Organizations, and the International Boreal Forest Research Association. The GFMC website contains a, quote, fire documentation and information monitoring system, end quote. The site offers, quote, early warning of fire danger, near real-time monitoring of fire information, archive of global fire information, facilitation of links between national and international institutions involved in fire research, development and policy development, support of local, national, and international entities to develop long-term strategies or policies for wildland fire management, emergency hotline and liaison capabilities, which is evidently restricted, for providing assistance for rapid assessment and decision support in response to wildland fire emergencies in conjunction with the UN, end quote. See why I keep going back and forth on all this? It's all very vital. Extremely vital information, people. The strategies and policy development within the GFMC are not geared to preventing areas from burning, but instead are used to get policy over forest areas still inhabited by man with the ultimate goal of evicting them from the area. Did you get that? Once again, the strategy and policy development within the GFMC are not geared to preventing areas from burning, but instead are used to set policy over forest areas still inhabited by man with the ultimate goal of evicting him from the area. Through networking with different organizations, both private and public, rewilding can take place where the land is allowed to return to its pre-human state. This is the unstated goal of Agenda 21. It has become the modus operandi of the global environmental contingent, as expressed by John Davis, former editor of Wild Earth, and the official voice of the Wildlands Project. Quote, Wilderness recovery must start now but continue indefinitely. Does this mean that Wild Earth and the Wildlands Project advocate the end of industrial civilization? Most assuredly, everything civilized must go, end quote. Unfortunately, Davis is not seen as a radical within the environmental community. His views are representative of major environmental organizations that not only provide funding for intense Washington lobbying within the U.S., but act as the consultative powerhouse for the United National Environmental Program. In 1968, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, passed Resolution 1296, which granted consultative status to 126 environmental groups who have drafted policy that later was adopted and promoted by the UN. Thus, the framers of Agenda 21 are already preparing a program for displaced individuals. And this is why, as I interject, this is why the volcanoes, and this is why the earthquakes are taking place. This is why the super volcano is being promoted at Yellowstone National Park. This is a whole plan in place. You don't think these earthquakes are natural, do you? Come on, listeners. Think of the history. Think of the past. Think of the present. Think of the situation coming and round. And think of all the information on the website, agenda21.com, americanexpose.com. It's all documentable. It's all in place. Quote, policies and programs should be developed for handling the various types of migration that result from or induce environmental disruptions, with special attention to women, the poor, and vulnerable groups, end quote. Property takings following natural disasters are taking place throughout the globe. Most recently, however, Karen Bixman had been alerted to the shenanigans carried out by the U.S. Forest Service in regard to cabins located within the Angeles National Forest in Southern California. An alert sent out by Chuck Cushman at the American Land Rights Association chronicles the proposed taking of recreation cabins that were damaged during the Curve and Williams fire in September 2002. Cabin owners whose dwellings were not destroyed in the fire were also in jeopardy of losing their special use authorization permit, the SUA. Cushman claims that if these takings are allowed to occur, 15,000 cabin owners will be affected nationwide. Sadly, over the past 25 years, environmental law has robbed landowners of their private property rights, and even more pressure is laid to bear if the property is located in a rural area. 21st century Americans now face the same dilemma that their colonial counterparts faced centuries ago and ultimately went to war with Great Britain. In 1729, the British Parliament banned citizens of the new colonies from cutting down pine trees, as pine was an excellent building material for the mast of the British naval ships. Thus, the British claimed all the pine trees for the crown. Accosted by agents of the king, private mill owners were arrested, their sawmills destroyed, and they were accused of chopping down the pine. Colonists were evicted from their land, their timber seized, their houses burned and demolished. Therefore, it is no coincidence that when patriots fought against the British army during the Revolution, their flag bore the pine tree, a reminder of British tyranny. That British tyranny goes on today, listeners. Unfortunately, the U.S. Forest Service has replaced those agents of the king and has enveloped itself in global principles, thus acting as a mouthpiece for the United Nations. The U.S. Forest Service now collaborates with a number of international partners, which includes the United Nations, the U.N. Commission on Sustainable Development, the U.N. Environmental Program, the U.N. General Assembly, the U.N. Convention on Biological Diversity, the U.N. Framework on Climate Change, International Institute for Sustainable Development, and the World Bank, just to name a few. The USDA Forest Service states in their international page, quote, the USDA Forest Service international programs promote sustainable forest management and biodiversity conservation internationally by linking the skills of the field-based staff of the USDA Forest Service. With partners overseas, the agency can address the most critical forestry issues and concerns. Since international cooperation is necessary to sustain the ecological and commercial viability of global forest resources and to conserve biodiversity, most of our work is done in collaboration with other organizations, end quote. Accordingly, U.S. agencies such as the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, and the U.S. Park Service now partner with international bodies as well as the Global Fire Monitoring Center. These U.S. agencies can, in an emergency, request assistance through the United Nations and the GFMC, the Global Fire Monitoring Center. Quote, in case of a large wildland fire incident that threatens national resources and or international interests and thus requires response by the international community, the country affected may call assistance through the Joint United Nations Environmental Program, the UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs Environmental Unit, Emergency Services Branch, end quote. Thus, when a fire emergency occurs, such as the Southern California fires of October 2003, the fighting of the fire is directed in part by international bodies whose ultimate goal is not to preserve homes, but to clear the land of man's influence. Unfortunately, the United States has lost its sovereignty through adoption of UN policy and treaties. The average citizen has no idea this has occurred, however, and does not realize that each UN agency has a mirrored image on the federal, state, and local levels. For example, the United Nations Environmental Program mandates environmental programs on an international level, and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency then directs the individual state EPA to a particular course of action. In turn, the state dictates policy to the country and then to the cities. Thus, through this interconnecting web of agencies, Agenda 21 is also being enacted on the state, county, and city level. And the rest is on the website on page 2. It's all very, very important for you to see and realize and read. It's a bad thing, listeners, that nobody's covering this information. As the rest of the world falls apart, report details of Zimbabwe intimidation. Mugabe was just voted as the next president, as he's been the president in the past. A corrupt election, no doubt, by most that are in the world of information. Mugabe. We have our own Mugabe in America. He's elected every 4 years, but he follows the UN line every time. Until tomorrow night, God bless you all. Good night.
Government where only the police and military are armed a police state? The only way that can happen is gun control through the ruse of for the children. But in police states, children are murdered because parents can't shoot back. If gun control is for the children,